Welcome to the June 14th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, assisted by Worship Associate Victoria Taylor. The title of Rev. Pam's homily is Cultivating Compassion. During her homily, Rev. Pam references hymns sung earlier in the service. Unfortunately, copyright laws do not allow us to include those in the podcast.
My name is Victoria Taylor, and I am serving as our worship associate this morning with Pam Phillips, our settled minister. So obviously, physical distancing is required that we not meet in person, but our community is still quite active and meeting regularly via Zoom and other virtual options. There are announcements email that comes out and with more information. And if you would like to receive that, make sure you fill out a virtual visitor's card. We also have a lovely grounds, and if you've never gathered there, that's a missed opportunity. It's really lovely and is a lovely ministry of our congregation. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you can find a link in the chat as well to fill that out, and it will be shared aloud. We also have a pastoral care committee, and you can indicate whether you'd like them to contact you personally. We've been very busy throughout the quarantine, and there are a few announcements. Several people have asked to be notified when there are public witness activities like marches or vigils that would be appropriate for members of our congregation to attend. If you would like to be added to that list, please contact our administrator, Lisa Vanello, and then you can know. We are also starting a new auction site, a little summer auction site. The service auction is one of our main fundraisers for our congregation. Please take a look to see what you might want to offer or you might want to purchase. There will be a link to the announcement that is sent out this afternoon. We ask you to get your chalices for our home chalice lighting. As you light your chalice from home, please join me in saying these words that we read together every week as we light the chalice, the symbol of our free faith. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. All right. Make sure you put your chalice in a safe place. My hair gets real close to mine some days. I'm going to read a welcoming written by Reverend Gretchen Haley called Shelter in Place. There is enough space between us to hold all that you are carrying, all that you've been waking, wondering, worrying, or wearing out with confusion or attempting to control, trying to find some sense of normal. All of your irritability, your curiosity, your fragile sobriety, your numb disbelief, your loneliness, your exhaustion, your daily questions, allergies, the virus, and your joys. We can hold that too. We can hold all of it here for this time and bless it. Here we will call each other just as we are, beloved. Here in this far apart space that is also close in, so much remains uncertain. With each passing breath, the ground is shifting. All we can say for sure is that we are all caught in this tangled blessing of life, of grief, of gratitude together, like always, except more. With all the forces of summer and the spinning of the earth, we are churning and becoming and beginning again, offering ourselves like the crocus flower, breaking through with a wild beauty, ready for whatever comes next. Come, let us worship together. Please join me in now in reading our congregational covenant as it is printed on the screen. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Our June theme is compassion. And as an introduction to this, I'd like to share some words by a colleague of mine, Kim Periano, who's a licensed acupuncturist, from an article of hers entitled Getting at the Heart of Compassion. She writes, "The common definition of compassion is very limited in nature. It leads us to believe that compassion is simply being nice or being there for people, and often at our own expense. When we look at compassion as a state of being rather than an act or a verb, we can expand on the vast energetic properties of the experience of compassion. Compassion is holding space while allowing another to have their reality. Compassion is having an open, warm, and spacious heart in the face of suffering, and that which we don't like, as well as that which we do. It's also being able to put yourself in another's shoes and truly feel and experience what their life and suffering may be like for them. When we encounter another with an open, spacious heart, while maintaining our own boundaries, we then create a space of safety for them to access and acknowledge what is true for them without fear, judgment, or shame of their own reality. This act, in and of itself, is enough to open the doorway to great healing."
Each week, we take up an offering. Giving is a reminder of our interconnected web of life, a call to make the world a little closer to heaven on earth, and a symbol of our commitment to compassion and to courageous love. Each week, we donate half of the offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. And this week, we invite you all to donate to the virtual Race for ACE. ACE stands for Access to Community College Education. And each spring, they have a race. Obviously, this year, they couldn't do it. So they'll be doing a virtual race in August. They raise funds. It's an economic development public-private partnership that makes college available debt-free to high school and homeschooled graduates by funding the New River Community College tuition for 2 years. I think especially of all those seniors who are graduating this year and missing out on all the pageantry of graduation, let's do what we can to make it possible for them to continue their education. You can give through our Give Plus app or text FUND to 844-909-2617. Let me get that on the screen so you can see it. And you can also find that information in the chat. Also, if you don't have the wherewithal to do it now, you can do it after the service. In fact, you can do it all the way up until next Saturday.
I'm going to invite you now to a space of meditation. This meditation was written by Kim Pellior, who wrote the words of our reading earlier. It's called Cultivating Compassion, Opening the Rose of the Heart. Please find yourself in a safe space. Put your feet on the ground, feel your butt on your chair. You can close your eyes. Some people feel more comfortable turning off the video, or just put your eyes in a soft focus and just be in your space. Feel your body in the room, in the time that is now. Maybe take a deep breath. and maybe even another. Now, I want you to notice the space around your heart, in your chest. For some people, it's easier if you put your hand right over your heart space, we call it. You might want to move it around a little. Now, become aware of the feelings and sensations in your heart space. Does it feel open or closed? Tight or raw, comfortable or uncomfortable? There is no right answer. Now, being aware of your heart space, visualize the bud of a beautiful rose right there in the center. It can be any color rose. As you bring your attention to the rose, notice it's beginning to open and to show its petals, and it grows wider and wider. And as the rose continues to open, it begins to emit a beautiful, sparkling, golden light, upwards and outwards. The rose is opening and emitting a beautiful golden light, the light of our connection. And sit with the open rose, open and vulnerable, but strong and emitting beautiful light of our connectedness. And note in your mind how this feels physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. And take a deep breath and put your hands back on your heart. As the rose closes, yet you know it's always there to open. By bringing awareness to the moments that our hearts close is one of the best things we can do to begin embodying compassion in a greater capacity. If we notice the times we close our hearts, but know that we can open them again and forgive ourselves in the process, that will help us embody compassion and be of greater service to our family, friends, and humanity as a whole.
So this morning, we've invited you to open your hearts with words, beautiful meditation, and with songs. Some of my favorite songs, ones that I find myself singing often. Open my heart to all that I seek. If any of the words, the images, the melodies have helped open your heart this morning, part of me wants to end the service right now and let you go out and enjoy this day. But I'm mindful that we must seek to open our hearts because they are often closed, protecting ourselves, and with good reason. In a space like this, in our spiritual community, we can bring all our emotions and states of mind, our joys and sorrows, trusting that the community can hold them with us. But when we leave this space and face the rest of the world, we sometimes need to take more care with our hearts. And in these times, there is so much suffering in the world, or suffering that we can see much better than we could before. That may be particularly true. with so much suffering in the world, people of compassion, people who strive to suffer with, might feel overwhelmed with all that is wrong with the world. So why open our hearts? Can we cultivate compassion that doesn't overwhelm us? Do we really need to feel others' pain? Well, first, it might be useful to define some terms. One distinction is that between empathy and compassion. Empathy can be thought of as literally and viscerally feeling what someone else feels. Think about times when you've seen someone get hurt. They've hit their thumb with a hammer and your thumb hurts. Or if you don't actually feel the pain, you know what such pain feels like and you cringe. I think about the times when I'm watching a movie and all of a sudden I'm going like this. I'm feeling empathy. Likewise, when you see someone experiencing great emotional disappointment or pain, you can imagine their suffering and feel it along with them. And it works with positive emotions too, doesn't it? We can share others' joys. That's why we find ourselves crying over those inspiring videos on YouTube or Hallmark card commercials. But feeling empathy all the time can be wearing. Sarah Scherer, the director of Compassion It, speaks to the risk of empathy fatigue as a common problem among caregivers and healthcare providers. She writes, "If you are frequently feeling the pain of another, you may experience a great deal of burnout." And this would seem to argue against opening our hearts. If we meet the world suffering with an open heart, then we could be overwhelmed by it all. But Scherer goes on to explain that unlike empathy, compassion is a renewable resource. And being compassionate can even combat empathy distress. Scientists have actually studied the difference between empathy and compassion with functional MRIs, and they employ different parts of the brain. So what is the distinction between suffering with, as in empathy, and that of compassion? Scherer explains that compassion takes empathy a step further by not just feeling or recognizing another's pain, but also doing something to help alleviate the suffering from that situation. We talked about that distinction last week, that compassion requires us to respond in some way. And really, Kim Pirano, the author of our reading, speaks to how we can respond best by maintaining an open heart and our own boundaries. She writes, "Compassion is holding your space while allowing another to have their reality." This distinction becomes important because as much as we might empathize with another person, as much as we might try to put ourselves in another's shoes, their experience of the world is not our experience of the world. And cultivating true compassion includes acknowledging that. Cultivating compassion means allowing another to simply have their reality without trying to change or fix it. As Pirano puts it, when we encounter another with an open, spacious heart while maintaining our own boundaries, we create a space of safety for them to access and acknowledge what is true for them without fear, judgment, or shame of their own reality. When we maintain our own boundaries, we protect ourselves from taking on too much suffering, but perhaps more importantly, we protect others from our judgments about who they are and how they should feel or be. When we open our hearts to people, we acknowledge their inherent worth and dignity. When we meet them with compassion, we try to see them as they truly are and not what we want them to be. That's one of the lessons of chaplaincy training. Most seminarians complete the clinical pastoral education in a hospital setting. As a hospital chaplain, one becomes keenly aware of the inability to fix or change anyone. That's the doctor's and the surgeon's job. All the chaplain can do is sit and listen, really listen to the patient or family member as they speak and try to sort through their fear and worries. And it turns out that simply listening without judgment, is a powerful gift. I remember one patient who taught me about listening with an open heart. During our first visits, I thought I was listening with an open heart, but it became clear that I was seeing her through the lens of my own experience and expectations. I saw her as weak and mild. It wasn't until our third visit that I heard and saw her truly, when I could hear the power in her quiet voice. Some of you have experienced giving and receiving the gift of true listening in our Soul Matters small groups. Each month we share one of the spiritual exercises out of our Soul Matters packets so that everyone can have a try at them. This month, the first exercise is called Gorilla Compassion. Not gorilla the animal, the other kind of gorilla. It invites us to do a kind of random act of kindness while honoring social distancing, like leaving an unexpected vase of flowers on a neighbor's porch to brighten their day, or surprising a sick neighbor by weeding their flower bed early in the morning, or organizing a flash mob like car caravan to help someone celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or graduation. This sounds like it could be fun, figuring out ways to show our care in a time when we have to keep our distance. In the spirit of cultivating compassion, though, I would invite us to pay special attention as we consider what we might do. Instead of thinking what we might like if our situation was the same as theirs, what would we feel like if we were sick or alone? If we were trying to celebrate an important milestone at a time when big celebrations aren't possible? Instead of thinking what we might want, imagine what they might want. Of course, a good way to begin would be to engage them in conversation and to really listen, to listen with an open heart. We might be surprised by what we hear. And as I watch the news and gather in groups trying to make sense of the current unrest in response to racial injustice, I'm struck by the importance of listening with open hearts. The importance of listening without judging if we want to truly hear about others' reality. And on this morning, when we are encouraged to open our hearts to others, we also need to remember our own emotional needs. As Pirano notes, stress, fear, anxiety, anger, grief, false joy, and worry are at the forefront of humanity right now. We are in a period of time and collective experience that is incredibly jarring, bringing up intense feelings of uncertainty and unknowns, and serving as a reminder for our own absence of real control. As our opening hymn reminds us, when we are frightened, when we are uncertain, when we are troubled and lonely, it's good to reach out for reassurance and for care. Reach out to your friends and to your family, to me or to the lay pastoral care team. Reach out to one another. Listen to one another. We need to cultivate compassion for ourselves, for the people in our lives, for all the people in our world. Let us do it with open hearts. I invite you to put your heart into a holy place in the week ahead, to open your heart, to open your ears, to listen to the stories of each other, and to tell your own. We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of community. Let us take that out into the world with us until we are together again.